Hey friends, I'm Stacy.
And I'm Liz.
And we love chatting about teen books.
What makes our podcast a little different is that we want to encourage your curiosity beyond the book.
So how will we do that? Each month, we'll feature one book and discuss its highlights. You know, the things that made us love it.
And we'll also share the things that didn't knock our socks off.
Then we'll explore what the book taught us and how it inspired a curiosity of information well after the story finished. So now, let's get on with our episode. Podcast. Liz and I are super happy you've joined us and chosen to give us a listen today. Some of our longtime listeners may notice that this episode is a bit later in the month than usual, and that's because our library is knee-deep in the summer reading program. We like to call it the Summer Experience Program at the Goffstown Public Library, and in addition to the regular duties, the events have nearly tripled each week. It's just all about go, 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 go. And I was thinking, like, I need one of those hats. You know, they have those sports arenas, and it has, like, the two beverages on each side with, like, the straws coming. And I would just have, like, iced coffee completely, like, giving me a caffeine drip all day long, because that's really, like, what I need.
Yeah, that sounds like a great way to stay awake and also to have an anxiety attack.
Maybe I don't need it, because I'm usually kind of spinning all over the place as it is anyway, even on one cup of coffee. So I don't know. But nevertheless, Liz and I have managed to persevere and deliver another what I hope is great and entertaining discussion. And we're going to be discussing Adam Silvera's novel, They Both Die at the End. Now, I tend to enjoy sharing our thought process or explaining how Liz and I decide to pick a book. And unless I hear outrage from our listeners, which I have not yet, I'm going to keep on sharing this. So most of the books we have discussed so far have been kind of newer titles. They both Die at the End is from 2017, and I consistently notice it is checked out. It is often reserved or being loaned to another library. And actually, I was waiting for my turn for the physical book because I prefer, like, the physical book. And I thought, hey, you know what? I might just check it out as an ebook. And when I went to do that, I realized the wait was about 10 weeks out for ebook. And that was just not on just one platform. That was, like, on another one, too. So,
yeah, I was looking for the audiobook on Overdrive, I think, and it was, like a couple weeks wait. So Even though it's from 2017, this one is a hot commodity.
It is a hot commodity. And that's when I said to myself, you know, Stacy, let me back up for a minute. Because hot commodity, let me say this to you. I realize that this title has been a huge sensation on Book Talk. So that might be some of it, too.
Like, that'll it's constantly do it.
That will do it, right? And so I saw it as a huge sensation on Book Talk, and I said, hey, you must read this book because everyone else is. So I have to do it. So I did it.
Stacey, that's peer pressure.
Well, yeah, you're right. Anyway, speaking of Book Talk, there is a certain bookstore that is having a Book Talk challenge this summer. They have different lists of books to choose from. I guess you read it and then you post about it with a special hashtag on TikTok. And the book, They Both Die at the End, is on one of the lists. And the list that it's on, like, they have, friends or enemies to friend, I don't know, something like that. And or like opposites attract. And the one this one is on is paranormal.
Interesting.
I was like, what?
I suppose that depends on your interpretation of certain elements, and we're going to talk about that. But that is, yeah, I wouldn't put it there.
I wouldn't
that
put
is
it
a,
there.
That is an
right?
odd choice.
I don't know. I would not put it there. And I've just rambled on with possibly useless information for everybody. And so I'm just going to move on to sharing a summary of the book then. And then we'll move on to our hits and misses. And then, of course, our curiosities beyond the book. So here we go. There's two boys, Mateo and Rufus. And they don't know each other, but they both receive a phone call informing them that in roughly 24 hours, they will die. This phone call comes from a very mysterious company called Deathcast, And the DeathCast operators make their calls between midnight and 3 a.m., informing everyone that their fate is to die that day and that they should tidy their things up and make the most of their final day. So needless to say, nobody wants this phone call between midnight and 3 a.m. DeathCast is never wrong. DeathCast cannot be outsmarted. And honestly, there's not much more to know about DeathCast because that's all the reader is told. There's no further explanation of the mysterious company, and it's mainly used to set the last day for Mateo and Rufus into motion. So these are two very different boys. They each need to decide how to live out their final day. Mateo is reserved. He's very shy. And he is alone right now because his dad has been in a coma for the last few weeks. This sounds very depressing. I know.
It is a book called They Both Die at the End, so I hope that you know what you're in for.
So really, Mateo's only friend is Lydia, and she's a teen mom that had dropped out of school when she became pregnant. And to further show how alone Mateo is, his mom died giving birth to him. So then there's Rufus, and he's actually pretty outgoing. He has lots of friends. He's like nearly the opposite of Mateo. And unfortunately, though, for Rufus, he's right in the middle of beating up his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend when he gets his death call from DeathCast. Rufus and his best friends live with a foster family. And after the call, Rufus wants to have this funeral of sorts back at the foster home. But the new boyfriend ends up calling the cops on Rufus. The cops crash the funeral to arrest him. Rufus needs to flee, and now he finds himself all alone on his last day as well. So how do these two completely opposite boys find each other? Well, of course, they connect on the Last Friend app, right? It's an app that matches up Deckers, that's the name for those that are living out their last day, with other Deckers. Or even just nice people, and some not so nice people, that don't want these Deckers living out their last day alone. So they kind of get matched up like a dating app.
Deckers, as in they're on deck. They're the next ones to die.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, the remainder of the book chronicles their adventures on their last day and the bond that is formed between them. Of course, lingering in the background is the anticipation of the point and manner in which they are set to die. There's other chapters in there, just a few that are sprinkled with some different characters, and I think this gives some insight as to what is going on with others within the city. Some of them also have DeathCast phone calls of their own, while others do not. And there's some loose connectivity between these other characters and Mateo and Rufus, and I think that pretty much covers it all, maybe?
I think that it really does.
Okay.
Because there's a really strong setup in this book, and then we get to see their adventures as they go.
Exactly.
But now that you have a general idea of what this book is about, I can tell you that I've been given permission to get some things about it off my chest. So thank you, Stacey.
You're welcome.
Before I begin, just know that the message of this book, the point of this book, it's really about living your life to the fullest and not hiding from the world and taking risks and love and friendship. Really, it's just about our two main characters, mm-hmm. Rufus and Mateo, and how they live their last day to the fullest.
Yes.
So the fantastical element, which is this DeathCast company, that, by the way, like everyone, at least in the city, is like encounters.
Yeah.
There's no real word if you have to subscribe or anyway, now I'm getting into the weeds. But so anyway, this DeathCast service, it only exists to allow the author to tell this story of these two characters while they know this is their last day on Earth. So learning exactly how DeathCast works, it isn't really important. Yeah. And focusing on it kind of misses the point of the story. However, I have so many questions, and this
Cue
is my time to ask them. Number one, how does DeathCast know people are going to die? Is it a technological process? For example, an algorithm that can accurately predict someone's lifespan to the day? If so, this society is way more advanced than the one that we live in. Surely we would be seeing other instances of advanced technology in Rufus's and Mateo's world,
right.
But we do not. Also, If this is the case, how is there only one company making use of whatever this technological advancement is? So other companies, individuals, even entire governments would surely be spending all of their time trying to get their hands on technology that can tell you when everyone in the world is going to die. That's just, it's such a huge thing, and we don't know any of that. Okay, but here's the other possibility. What if DeathCast is using some supernatural means to predict people's deaths? If that's the case, why is no one talking about it? If everyone in the world, if they both die at the end, has confirmation that magic exists, that would have changed all of society, just everything. It would have changed science and religion and philosophy and every way that human beings try to understand life on Earth. That's what the confirmation of magic would do. Or maybe it's even beyond Earth. Maybe it's aliens. We don't know. It could be aliens. So, and the other thing is, so don't try to tell me that no one, aside from like the mysterious executives, I assume, at DeathCast, know what the secret is. That's impossible. It's impossible that only they know. And I'm not just talking about the people who work at DeathCast. I'm saying that every reporter on the face of the earth would be going undercover at this company to try to find out the secret of life. This is just such a massive, massive thing that surely it would, like, it would affect society more than what we see. But these ramifications are not gone into in the book. Yep. So my final point, the end of my rant, is that instead of just predicting death, we have seen DeathCast also causes death. There are several examples in the book of people who get their DeathCast notification, then do something they wouldn't normally do because they got their notification, and then they end up dying. For example, they might take a road trip to say goodbye to somewhere they loved and then get in a car crash. So then we end up with a company who has a vested interest in making sure that you die when you say you'll die when they say you'll die, and also prompts actions that result in death. Why would anyone trust them? Why, Stacey?
Conspiracy.
It is a conspiracy. So I'm sorry. I am done. My rant is done. Thank you. So we can move on.
We can move on. But I think I am just going to say that, you know, obviously we go and I tend to wait until a little bit later after I finished reading and after I've gained my, you know, composed some thoughts on my own. I will go and look at reviews after that. And I haven't found any reviews that I looked at that remotely even wanted to delve into DeathCast, right? which I look at and say, okay, well, obviously we know, and we've already said it on here too, that is not the point of the story, and we get that. But goodness gracious, not one review out there saying, hey, you know, as a side note, was anybody else like...
just really sidetracked.
Right, really sidetracked in their thinking.
Is this another conspiracy? Is there some sort of book review conspiracy keeping us from talking about DeathCast?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Please don't let my rant stop you from enjoying the story, because as we keep reiterating, it is not the point.
Well, I would also say don't let anything we really say keep you from, you know...
That's true.
Whether
experience
or not,
it on your own terms.
Experience on your own. Everyone reads and experiences things differently. And you know, sometimes when I read something... and I start talking to people and I'm talking about the book, revelations come then. I'm like, oh my gosh, wait, hold on a minute. Like, that didn't even happen when I was reading the story. So, you know, I always think that people, it is great to have a review. It is great to go by and hear what other people have to say. But really, you know, experience it on your own. That's Indeed. What I'm saying. So, yeah. So our hits.
Things we actually liked about the book.
Things we liked about the book. So I'm pretty sure we both have the same thing that we found as a hit. And this isn't going to be a shocker to you people that are listening right now. DeathCast. The premise of DeathCast is so interesting. And I just thought, what a great way to get the conversation going about living life and handling death. Like, that's a morbid... death is not a topic that I think you just go into... talking about or thinking about or I don't know. There was just something within this book that really, like, it put it out there. Like, we got to talk about this. We got to think about this. And
yeah, the knowledge that death is coming, like, causes you to reflect on life in a way you couldn't at any other time.
Exactly.
And this is a great plot device to get us there.
Definitely is.
Also, the other thing, because you are right, the other one of the things that I liked about it was Deathcast, despite literally everything I just said. I can like something and be critical of it at the same time. Yes. I contain multitudes. What I really liked about Deathcast was that it tells you that you're going to die sometime in the next 24 hours, but you don't know how, and you also don't know exactly when. It could be 5 minutes from when you hang up the call. It could be, you know, at 1 minute to midnight at the end of your 24 hours. So I really liked that we get the call to get the ball rolling, to get us thinking about our last day on Earth. But there's still an element of uncertainty because we don't know what's actually going to happen.
Yeah. Yep. And neither do the operators that call you. And actually, the operators that call you don't even know much about Deathcast, or so they say. But that,
conspiracy.
You
know, but yeah, so that was another thing that I really enjoyed was the people who worked for Deathcast, because they're just normal office workers who go to their jobs every day. They call people, they tell them they're going to die, and then they go home to their families. We get to see, I think Stacey mentioned in the synopsis that we get to see little snippets from other people. And so we got some glimpses into these people's lives. And I would be really excited by a book, frankly, about what's going on in the company. Yeah. Perhaps so we can find out their secrets. and speaking of, another thing that I really enjoyed was the multiple viewpoints themselves.
Yeah.
Throughout the book, we get these like short little chapters that are from the points of view of people who either affect Mateo and Rufus's life or who encounter them on their last day.
Right.
And so you get to see a little glimpse of like the wider world. You get to learn a little bit about how other people who may or may not be dying today feel about Deathcast. Yeah. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I tend to love books anyway that have multiple perspectives. That's I can't remember the first one that I read, but I remember just being like, wow, I love this, having, you know, a chapter on one character and then having a chapter on another character. And I just, so I would say that's something I loved as well. And I think our misses are probably pretty close too, Liz. Amazing. But so this book is described as romance, action, and adventure, you know, a love story. But I struggled to really... Paranormal was not on that list except for the book talk challenge.
Like
one,
I said, it basically the only reason you might shelve it as paranormal is if you've decided that whatever is running Deathcast is definitely something supernatural.
Right.
But we don't know that.
We don't know that. But I even struggle to really fit this book into any of those categories as well. And I don't know, maybe because it moved so slow. The characters were slow. The action was slow. The adventure was timid and mild. And the romance was gentle and sweet, but slow.
Slow. And it happened very late.
Very late.
Which is surprising because it's your last day on Earth.
Yeah. So
I can't mention that enough.
So I struggled with that a little bit. But, you know, as I was sitting there thinking about it, this as my miss and struggling with it a little bit, you know, maybe that slowness was symbolic of living life fully and enjoying the journey, taking time to smell the roses, which I guess is maybe something I do not do because I am constantly in a go, 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 go. Just that's how I am. See, even the way I talk is just like, blah, 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 blah. You know, but yeah. So it was a miss for me. It was just too slow. It was overall too slow.
And I agree with a lot of those points. There was just like a lack of urgency from Rufus and Mateo that really confused me, because we know that it is literally their last day alive.
Yeah.
And there are other plot elements that I won't spoil. But so there are other things that, you know, who might be people who might be after them, who might or may not be the cause of their deaths. We don't know. And they know about these people. And so even despite all of this, you would think they did not prioritize hurrying. They spent a very slow, quiet day together. And you know what? It's lovely. That's great. But for example, they spent a surprising amount of time waiting in line to do things, which is not,
no,
I would not,
I'm not
wait
in
a single line on my last day on Earth. I would
like,
not do it.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Deathcast, call me.
If I'm not skipping to the front, I'm out of there. Yeah. There's nothing I care about so much that I would wait in a line on my last day on Earth. But so yeah, and as we mentioned, even like the romance that we are sort of promised at the mm-hmm. outset kind of moves very slowly, and we don't really learn anything about it till late in the book. And it was very sweet. It was sweet at
definitely.
Times, but I also found it frustrating. I yelled, "Hurry up, you're dying!" at the book quite a few times. And like Stacey, this might just be my personal approach to things. Because I'm imagining, you know, like my last day, and I think on my last day, I would try very hard not to dilly-dally.
Me neither.
There was a lot of dilly-dallying.
Yeah.
They had a very relaxed attitude to the day, which I did not fully connect with. And I'm not even talking about like stopping to smell the roses. I'm talking about like taking the subway instead of an Uber.
Right.
It's like you've got one day. Like you gotta.
Or cleaning,
hurry it up.
Or cleaning the apartment before leaving. Like, I don't think we need to do that. I think we're all set. It doesn't need to be done. Like, go. Just get up. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
But so this book did inspire some curiosities beyond the book. Mm-hmm. And so for one, I thought that They Both Die at the End was a fantastic example of a genre that doesn't get talked about a lot. It's called speculative fiction. And speculative fiction is kind of a broad umbrella term. The author Robert Heinlein, who's written a lot of classic science fiction, he coined the phrase in 1941, and he defined it in a 1947 essay called On the Writing of Speculative Fiction as narratives not so much concerned with science or technology as with human actions in response to a new situation created by science or technology. Speculative fiction highlights a human rather than a technological problem. So you see,
yes,
this is a perfect example of why all of my questions about how Deathcast works don't really matter. The story isn't about Deathcast. It's about Rufus and Mateo reacting to Deathcast telling them they only have 24 hours to live. Some more modern authors like Margaret Atwood and Ursula K. Le Guin have argued for expanding that definition to include fantasy elements as well as science fiction. So then speculative fiction basically boils down to any story not set in the real world that asks, how would people react if this very unusual thing happened? So some great YA examples of this genre are The Gracier by Kim Liggett.
Oh, that was a really good book. I read that and I really liked that book. That was great.
Early Departures by Justin A. Reynolds. Every Day by David Levitan. Game Changer by Neil Schusterman, and another of Adam Silvera's books called More Happy Than Not.
So here's the biggest curiosity of them all. All right, we're going with this speculative fiction now then. So if you knew you were going to die in the next 24 hours, what would you do?
So the way I see it, there are two ways to play this.
Mm-hmm.
Either I can spend a quiet day at home with the people I love around me and just like have a, you know, relaxing, comforting sort of situation. Or option B, I can accept that I am going to die and I have no idea how, and then just do the craziest nonsense I've always wanted to do but never thought I could. So I'm talking like, you know, like we're going skydiving, we are bungee jumping off the Empire State Building, mm-hmm. I'm going to the Museum of Natural History and I'm stealing a penguin, like I'm doing all of it.
Why a penguin?
I don't know. I just really
like
want...
Like a dinosaur leg maybe?
I guess.
I don't know why.
That's not as cool to me.
Okay.
I would really like, and it occurred to me as I was saying this, so I'm imagining like going to the Museum of Natural History, finding a diorama and stealing like a stuffed taxidermied penguin.
Yeah, yeah.
So
what I figured.
Right. But as I'm saying this, I was like, wait, why did you settle for a taxidermied penguin, Liz? You could go to the aquarium and steal a real penguin. I could just do that.
But then, Liz, if in all that,
yes.
some, like,
I don't want to harm
die,
the penguin.
Right. Now who's going to take care of the penguin? At least the taxidermy one, like, you know, it's...
Oh, I would be live streaming all of this. There would be people to take care of these
things.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
So I hope that I would choose option B and just do all of the things that ever crossed my mind, but I was always too worried about either getting hurt or, you know, the repercussions. Not that I'm I'm not going to cause harm to anyone.
Right.
Perhaps I should stick with the taxidermied penguin because I don't want to traumatize a penguin. However, I hope that that is what I would choose.
So I think I would also have those types, those two choices as well. Like,
And also, you know, say goodbye to my family and loved ones and all that jazz.
So I don't know that I would want to spend a whole day just staying home with my family. And here's the reason why. It's not because I don't love my family, because obviously if I'm staying home to spend the whole day with my family, the death is probably happening within my home. Yeah. And that may be very traumatic for my family.
That's another thing.
More traumatic already than already knowing that, like, hi, I'm dying soon, like today.
But that's another thing that Mateo and Rufus do think about, because they don't want to die in front of the people that they love. Yeah. They don't want to leave them with that knowledge.
So I may want to do the quick thing like Rufus wanted to do and just kind of like, hey, I'm here right now. Let's have my quick little funeral together. Quick. Like, you know, while I'm hug, love you, love you, love you. I'm going to go out and do these things. And I think that even though they have this app so that you're not alone, I think I would want to do all those things alone. I think I would want to be alone. And maybe I just live stream it. But that also could have potential problems if I die while I'm skydiving. Because now, you know, like, that might traumatize everybody who's watching it.
I mean, they knew this was coming.
Yeah.
In my hypothetical scenario, I've warned them ahead of time. But yes, no, I can see your point.
Yeah.
I'm thinking what I would do is, like, my friends and loved ones, I would say, this, like, just follow me. Just follow me. Keep up if you can. But if you can't, then I'm leaving you behind. And then we're just doing it.
We're just going. Yeah. But and remember, money's no object, of course, because what do we, like, we were talking about this, right? You know, so if you want to jet set all over the place, like, money's an object for me, because as Liz and I talked about this a little bit, you know, I have a family right like now. If this was happening right now, I have two boys, I have a husband. So, you know, they would get my estate, they're beneficiaries of, you know, whatever happens to me. So I can't rack up a lot of debt. That would be terrible because they'd be left with it. So my thought was, tell them, Liz.
But I was thinking, and this is morbid and I don't want it to sound instructional. But it's a thought that crossed my mind. So I looked into it and I learned that if I just max out all my credit cards and I spend all my money and I take out all the loans that I possibly can, and then, you know, it's my death day, they can't collect. I don't have an estate. What are they going to do? Nothing. I'll give all that money away. I'm going to buy easily resellable presents for everyone that I love.
And then I thought, well, I will tag along with Liz because she can max out the credit card, bring me along.
That's true.
We're both dying anyway. So, I, you know, these were some of our thoughts on,
I have to say,
this curious.
We had a lot of question. Thoughts about our last days on Earth. But I do have to say, even though it worked out for Rufus and Mateo, the absolute last thing that I would do on my last day on Earth is download any more apps.
No.
Like, I'm done. No. I don't need any
more apps. No more apps at all. And I'm not even sure I would have my phone with me. I don't think I would. I don't want anyone interrupting me. I'm not taking any phone calls. I'm not taking your texts. I got things to do.
That's
like on my last day. So here's a follow up.
Fair.
Is that fair? Okay. So here's a follow up to that. How would you live differently every day if you already knew that you weren't going to die that day? So now you know, 12 a.m. to midnight to 3 a.m. came, you did not get your phone call. You are living that day. Do you live differently?
See, that is a more difficult question, because at least in the world of this book, just because you're not dying today doesn't mean that you can't get seriously hurt.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't end up in a coma. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you can't contract an illness that will, you know, eventually lead to your demise. So it does place certain limitations on that. Like, you're not invincible for the day. You just can't actually die.
Yeah, you're just not – you just don't – yeah.
And
but that is no, how can that be though? Because if DeathCast knows that you're going to die, then why didn't you get the call? Like,
we don't know what else DeathCast knows. There's nothing to tell us that whatever's running DeathCast doesn't also know, like, all information in the universe. This is one of the many things that we don't know about DeathCast.
This is just I don't know. My brain can't wrap around this now. Cause at the time I was thinking of this question, but now I'm like, no, this is not possible.
I brought up a lot of practical issues surrounding DeathCast that were frankly off topic. but now we can't let go of.
Right. I know. Our mind is like locked on it.
But knowing that I, you know, living in a world where I could get that call, mm-hmm. I don't think it would change my behavior in a huge way. Okay. I think what I would do is, unlike Rufus and Mateo, knowing that I would have a last day, I would make a plan.
Mm. Okay, good point.
Right? Like, if you know you're going to know that it's coming, you make a plan for what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then, otherwise, I think I would just, you know, never sleep well again. Because between midnight and 3 a.m., like, oh my, the anxiety. Like,
my brain just went someplace else again. Like, what if you don't wake up for your call?
Ooh, that's interesting. Can that happen? What if it rings once, you pass away, and you never actually take the call?
Oh, that's a whole other, okay, I'm going way off here. But every time we, like, I start thinking of these different things, and this is what was hard for me with this book, because my mind just kept going someplace else. But
speaking of anxiety with the call, though, so between midnight and 3 a.m., it's not just your own call that you're worried about. Because you may also find out that someone you loved got the call.
Yeah.
And this happens every single night mm-hmm. for the rest of your life.
And there's elements within this book, and you know, I mentioned that Rufus lives in foster care, right? And so obviously he had a family. And I think in reading this book, there were times where reading things like that, like the thought of everyone else in your family getting the call and you not,
yes,
is like so sad to me. And how do you even deal with that?
There were some different... So Rufus and Mateo, knowing they're going to die, that is very sad. You know, yeah. They're 17 and 18 years mm-hmm. old, and they're going to die young, and that's very sad.
Yeah.
But what I found affected me a lot more and made me get all teary, even when I was trying to tell Stacy about it, mm-hmm. was you would find out about other people on their last days, and specifically about, like, the people who would be left behind. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Mateo's dad, I think you mentioned he's in a coma.
Yeah, I did. He's in a coma.
That's not a surprise. We learned that very quickly.
Yeah. So, and everything I said in the beginning, you learned extremely quickly in the book.
But knowing that Mateo's dad mm-hmm. is going to wake up from his coma and then find out that his son has died, that, I don't know, that really struck me as, like, heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. There's another piece where, like, it implies that it's, like, a dad who found out that, like, his, like, toddler is going to die. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, that broke me. It broke me. It gets me tearing. I'm cheering right now.
Tearing up.
No crying in the podcast. No crying.
So let's go then. Let's go with one more question. In your rant early on, Liz, you mentioned that DeathCast goes beyond predicting death and causes death. So, does being told you are going to die actually trigger the events that ultimately kill you? Is that like a domino effect?
Short answer, I have no idea. Longer answer, because I always have one of those, is I have been developing a theory that perhaps DeathCast operates on, like, Final Destination rules. Mm. I don't know if you're all familiar with the movie Final Destination. It's about a group of teenagers who have a narrow escape from death, but then they keep getting, like, killed in other ways, like, one by one, because it's like fate has caught up with them. Anyway, so one hypothesis is that perhaps DeathCast knows that you are fated to die today, but it doesn't know how you are going to die today mm-hmm. because no matter what you do, even if your actions are prompted by learning about, you know, your DeathCast notifications, one way or another, you are going to die. Even though, like, perhaps the way in which you die is mm-hmm. not fixed.
Okay.
But that's a theory because
we
don't know.
That's true. And so... I would say, you know, for Liz and I, these were our curiosities, right? DeathCast was on our mind. We couldn't get it out of our mind. But the overall theme within this book, and I think as you start learning more and more about these boys, is that on your final day, you don't want to look back at your life and realize that you were too scared to do things. And so I really think that within the book, it was within this one day a lot of growth and learning of who they are and what they really wanted out of life.
Yes.
And that they attempted to make that happen.
Absolutely. Well, and I also think clearly this book has sparked a discussion with us.
Yeah.
Thinking about death, thinking mm-hmm. about what would you do if.
Right.
And so I think that this book will spark that thought process, spark a conversation if you're reading it with, you know, a friend or talking with someone who's also read it about these same kinds of topics, which you probably don't talk about every day because I don't think any of us do.
I don't think so at all. So, yeah. Well,
wow.
We're going to near the end of our podcast because it is summer here and we want some daylight. And, you know, you've probably heard us going on long enough. So, Liz, why don't you tell us what's going on with our next podcast?
Absolutely. So we can't let you go without teasing our pick for next month. Mm-hmm. So Stacey and I decided that we would love to talk about a graphic novel for the first time. Mm-hmm. And we picked one that I really love, Heartstopper by Alice Oseman. We'll be reading volume one. So a quick synopsis. Charlie and Nick are at the same school, but they've never met, until one day when they're made to sit together. They quickly become friends, and soon Charlie is falling hard for Nick, even though he doesn't think he has a chance. But love works in surprising ways, and Nick is more interested in Charlie than either of them realized. Heartstopper is an LGBTQ+ graphic novel about life, love, and everything that happens in between. If this synopsis sounds familiar, this comic has also recently been made into an incredibly adorable TV series on Netflix. So if you're interested in reading it before our next episode, not only can you check this one out from the library, but you can also read it in its original form as a webcomic on Tapas.com or the Tapas app.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Curious Reader podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode.
So please click that heart or give us a thumbs up to share the love of reading and discovering something new.
And remember, the curious reader seeks understanding beyond the book.